It is Friday, October 11th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
The Eureka Springs Original Ozark Folk Festival presents a live recording of Michael Jonathan's Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour, Saturday, October 26th in the City Auditorium. Guests include Michael Martin Murphy and Leroy Troy and the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band. This recording will be aired on public radio and television, as well as the Armed Forces Radio Network. Tickets are available at theaud.org.
Ahead on Ozarks, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com gets us up to date on a wild news week. From the new home sales numbers to a gubernatorial candidate's comments yesterday about Arkansas's private option.
First, some state agencies and programs are facing suspension as a result of the federal government shutdown. Governor Mike Beebe notified them that any programs and employees that depend upon federal funds and cannot draw from these pools will shut down today. His spokesman, Matt DeCampbell, says they had some carryover money to sustain the first 2 weeks, but that time is expiring.
That money is now running out. And as the shutdown persists and as it continues and as we continue to see inaction in Washington, that's about to get a whole lot worse, both for employees in Arkansas and for the state economy overall.
Programs and employees must obtain certification from the chief fiscal officer of the state if they want to continue after today. The Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration will review federal correspondence for exceptions regarding the protection of public health, safety, and welfare. Matt DeCampbell says because of the funding lapse, some agencies will suffer more than others.
The National Guard gets more than 97% of their funding from the federal government, and they're facing some very tough choices. As an example, the Fort Smith Airport, the fire suppression team there, the firefighters who react to emergencies on the runways and things like that, are National Guardsmen and women. If they have to be furloughed, then there's no fire suppression at the Fort Smith Airport, and under FAA rules, that would stop operations at the Fort Smith Airport.
However, according to a post by Governor Beebe's staff this morning, fire suppression crews at the Fort Smith Airport will remain on duty. Yesterday, the 188th Fighter Wing announced some Guard employees would be paid next week. Employees who were furloughed last week will reportedly be paid next Thursday for work performed through the end of September, while accepted employees who weren't furloughed last week will also be paid Thursday for work performed through October 5th. Active Guard and Reserve employees will receive pay on Tuesday.
Winter wheat planting will start later than usual in some parts of Arkansas. Jason Kelly is an Extension Wheat and Feed Grain Specialist for the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture. He says planting too early can leave growing wheat vulnerable to freeze damage or put it at risk for hungry fall armyworms, as well as other insects and diseases.
We've started planting wheat a little bit. I would say in general we're behind compared to especially last year and probably previous years. And one of the slowdowns has been the summer crops, soybeans, rice, corn. They're maturing later this year than that what they did last year. Most of our wheat is planted behind another crop, and when those harvests get delayed, that just delays wheat planting.
Kelly says October is the crucial month for wheat planting in the state. Planting wheat earlier or later can still produce good yields, but the crop could be at a greater risk for problems.
Cyclists in Fayetteville are expected to have an easier way to get to the Midtown area when a bike route opens along North Street and through part of the Veterans Administration Hospital property. Matt Mihalovich is Fayetteville City Trails Coordinator.
Ultimately, it'll be painted signs and symbols on the pavement directing people how to get through to the signal at Evelyn Hills there in front of Cross College and then leading back toward Woolsey, toward Wilson Park and Skull Creek Trail. So we see it as an important connection through there. Currently, there's a gate closing off part of it, so we would open that gate up and install a red bollard that we use to keep cars out but allow bikes and pedestrians to come through.
Mihalovich says the Midtown route will connect the city's trails system to several destinations in the Midtown area.
We've had a lot of citizen requests for a better connectivity to Evelyn Hills Shopping Center with Ozark Natural Foods there and many other destinations, as well as connection to the UAMS and the VA campuses. So this is something that we've been working on. Alderman Petty has been very involved working on this. We've been working on it for probably a year, and we're getting close to getting all the loose ends tied up on the agreements and different things.
He says, though there are still a lot of formalities to go through in regards to getting required agreements from UAMS and the federally run VA, he hopes to have the route completed sometime next year.
Faculty in the University of Arkansas Social Sciences departments have been ranked among the top when it comes to sharing their research and expertise with news media. The Faculty Media Impact Project at Hawaii Pacific University has ranked the social sciences faculty fifth out of 94 research universities in the country. The ranking was developed by looking at Google's News Archive from 2006 to 2011, and the number of times faculty members were cited in news sources was recorded and then divided by the percentage of National Science Foundation funding the institution had received. The U of A ranked above all other SEC schools and was only ranked behind Rice and Southern Methodist Universities, the University of Texas in San Antonio, and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
The ACLU of Arkansas and Arkansas Public Law Center are challenging a new state law they say presents undue obstacles in the state's initiative and referendum process. A lawsuit claims Act 1413, which passed with 110 of 135 state legislators supporting it, complicates the referendum process by requiring petition signers to provide additional information not required by the Arkansas Constitution, by shortening the period for collecting more signatures if the Arkansas Secretary of State finds an insufficient amount, and by discounting an entire petition page if it includes signatures from multiple counties. The law was one of three election reform measures introduced in part by Attorney General Dustin McDaniel. Among other things, the bill makes it a Class A misdemeanor to knowingly sign another person's name to a petition, and paid canvassers must register with the Secretary of State's office, while unpaid canvassers aren't required to register in a similar fashion.
Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and lows in the lower 60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a 60% chance of showers and highs from 75 to 81. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 54 in northwest Arkansas and a 40% chance of showers and a low of 62 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news and just about everything else for the listening area. It has been an incredibly busy week and incredibly busy past 36 hours.
Well, it has. And Kyle, if this is any indication of how the political season is going to end up going, I don't know if I'm going to survive it.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. First, new numbers on home sales.
Yes, new good numbers, or there continue to be good numbers, and the market, the home sales market in Arkansas is, you know, it's healthy when even the what has been a troubled Fort Smith metro economy is doing well. So that's a good sign for not just that market, but the entire home sales market. But for the first 8 months of the year in Arkansas's four largest metro areas that the CityWire reviews, home sales were up more than 12%. And that was boosted by more than 21% gain in August. And what we do at the CityWire for the CityWire's home sales report is we look at 14 of the state's most populated counties, 14 out of 75. That may not sound like a lot, but it accounts for 70 to 75% of total Arkansas home sales. So it's a good number. For the first 8 months of 2013, home sales are up a little over 2% in central Arkansas. A little over 9% in the Jonesboro area, not surprisingly up over 17% in northwest Arkansas and up almost 7% in the Fort Smith area. So keep your fingers crossed. We were concerned it'd slow down in the back half of the year, but that's not the case.
Tuesday night, the latest chapter in the relationship between Fort Smith and Whirlpool took place when representatives from the company came to talk about the plume that's underneath the former plant.
Well, and to Whirlpool's credit, you know, they said all the right things. Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality was there, so we'll see. And they had some reassuring comments, I should say. So now,
where we move from here, essentially what, I guess I should back up a little bit, what Whirlpool presented was a plan that they say will work, and they said was based on, quote, good science, and they used that term repeatedly during their presentation, but they'll remove these TCE levels, and this is a cancer-causing, potentially cancer-causing chemical that's been spilled around the plant there at the manufacturing plant Whirlpool has in Fort Smith for several decades. And so they have a plan to remove that. I can tell you, Kyle, some of the board members, some of the Fort Smith board members were not impressed. Some don't even like the concept. They want, I think it was Vice Mayor Kevin Settle, or it was Vice Mayor Kevin Settle, who said, nope, I want you to come dig all this up, which is down around 15-foot levels, and remove it, which would be extremely expensive for Whirlpool. But so we'll see. But again, they made a good presentation. It's somewhat of a relief to have them come and spend that kind of time and be that detailed, because it in the past Whirlpool has not been that forthcoming, I should say.
Can Whirlpool be forced to come dig something up that's that far down?
Well, that's what the discussion the board had. You know, I think they're correct, is they do not have that type of authority, that type of leverage. It'll ultimately come down to what the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality requires. Now, I guess you could argue that the Fort Smith Board of Directors could lobby them hard and heavy, and could lobby their area representatives and senators hard and heavy and make something happen. But, you know, directly, no, the Fort Smith Board cannot force Whirlpool to do anything.
I had never heard or read the term creeping hostile takeover before, but it's almost Halloween, so it seems to fit. USA Truck is filing a lawsuit against Knight, accusing them of this creeping hostile takeover, and by using some confidential information.
Well, and I'm with you, brother. I've followed these kind of things for a while. I've never seen the term creeping hostile. Yes, USA Truck and Knight, that hostile takeover got even more hostile. USA Truck has filed a lawsuit now claiming that officials with Knight Transportation used some information they gained during confidential negotiations to buy their shares and to seek, try to take over the company. So this began on September 26, at least publicly it began on September 26, and, there are some of the analysts I read, some of the reports I read suggest that Knight, you know, has the capability and certainly is serious in the deal and can really make it happen. And what's at loss here, what potentially could be lost for the Fort Smith area, is if it goes through, USA Truck employs between 400 and 500 at their corporate headquarters there in Van Buren, and that would be a huge hit for the regional economy that's just now really kind of getting back on its feet.
Finally, you mentioned politics at the beginning of our conversation. Something that is probably going to play into many of the races over the next 13 months is the Affordable Care Act and health care. And it came up a couple of times in the last day or so. First, Mercy Hospital's president and CEO apparently is no fan of the Affordable Care Act.
He is not. And we attended Thursday night an event that Mercy had. Every year, they do it in Northwest Arkansas as well, come back and they talk about the progress they've made in the region in terms of investments, new equipment, new physicians, and that type of thing. And we were there just to cover that. But, you know, it quickly became clear that they wanted to talk to the community. There were about 125 members of the community there. They wanted to talk about their struggles, the Mercy struggles, with the Health Care Act. And, you know, regardless of where you are politically on the issue, they laid out some very interesting challenges that they'll face. And, you know, Lynn Britton, he's the CEO of St. Louis-based Mercy for all the network, and his quote was, he said the law is, quote, challenging beyond anything I could have imagined. And that was the nicest thing that was said about the law. Mike McCurry, the CEO, or the COO, Chief Financial Officer, let me get this right, Chief Operating Officer for Mercy, essentially said this, you know, if everything came into law in 1 year, it could have been a $400 million hit for Mercy system-wide. And that's just not sustainable, Kyle, because their net operating income last year was $122 million. They projected to be $105 million this year. So, you know, they can't – that would have been a, you know, $200-300 million loss. So it's an interesting article. They're taking the hit. They're – you know, part of the issue is that these exchanges will push people to Medicaid rates in terms of reimbursements, and those rates are already hurting hospitals. Hospitals are already losing money providing service at Medicaid rates. So, again, no matter what you think about Health Care Act, it's they certainly have some interesting comments that I'd encourage anyone to read.
Also, making some interesting comments about health care, Asa Hutchinson, Republican candidate for governor.
Well, and a lot of he was in Fort Smith on Thursday to speak to the Sebastian County Republican Party, and there have been a lot of folks in the media try to pin Asa Hutchinson down, who's running for governor, as you said, on what he would have done with the private option. You know, the Republican-led legislature, Arkansas legislature, approved the private option plan. In fact, it was their legislation, and that private option plan essentially is what will regulate, is what will mandate how the Health Care Act is incorporated into Arkansas. And so he's been, you know, members of the media have been trying to pin him down on would he have signed that legislation. And his take was, it's kind of a weird, not weird in a bad way, but it's just a different take. His assessment is that if he were governor, the legislation would have never come forward. He would have pushed that to a special session, which probably wouldn't have taken place yet, and they would already be knowing some of these issues that we all see now that are happening with the health care law. So he kind of tried to pass it off like, well, if I was governor, it wouldn't even come to my desk yet. So we kept pressing him, and he finally said, yes, you know, if there was a Republican majority legislature and there was a consensus and they did push it to me, then in a special session, then yes, I would have signed the legislation rather than vetoing it. But it was a long way around to answer that. But I'm sure that will appeal to his base. I don't know how it will appeal to his opponents, but it will appeal to his base, I'm sure.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but what he was saying is he would have used his influence as governor to not even have that conversation until a special session.
Those were good. If you put words in his mouth, I think those were pretty accurate words.
Okay. Wow. All that and homecoming this weekend.
Yeah, well, hope the Gamecocks don't ruin it for us.
All right. Michael Tilley covers everything that happens in this area. He's the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. On the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, we'll hear music from violinist Christian Howes, trumpeter Rebecca Koops, and vocalist Gregory Porter. This and much more on the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
The Center for Business and Economic Research in the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas will host the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis next month. James Bullard will speak at the quarterly business analysis program November 21st at John Q. Hammond's Convention Center in Rogers. The quarterly business analysis luncheon is a partnership between the Center for Business and Economic Research and the Northwest Arkansas Chambers of Commerce. Cost for the program and the luncheon, $40. Pre-registration must be made by Monday, November 18th. You can make a reservation by calling 575-4151.
Lake Dardanelle State Park is starting a new camp in November. The OAK Camp will give campers the chance to explore the nighttime critters who live in the park, and it's open to children ages 8 through 12. The camp is scheduled for Friday, November 8th from 6 until 9 p.m., and then again Saturday, November 9th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. The camp will include crafts, hiking, and other outside recreational activities. Registration is $25 per camper and will include meals and all supplies. The camp has limited space. The absolute latest you can register is Friday, November 1st, provided there is still space available.
So in other words, if you think you want your kids to go, call now.
Right. And for more information, you can call the Visitor Center at 479-967-5516.
Most of the area's collegiate athletic teams are on the road this weekend, though there are a few chances to catch a game. The Arkansas volleyball team, now ranked 16th in the NCAA RPI, hosts Alabama tonight at 7 in Barnhill Arena on the U of A campus. They'll travel to Tennessee for a Sunday afternoon game. The John Brown University soccer teams will entertain Oklahoma Baptist tomorrow in Siloam Springs. The women play at 1. The men's match follows at 3. And the Northeastern State University men's soccer team, ranked 5th in the country in the NCAA Division II level, will host Midwestern State University in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. That's tonight at 7.
May be the home of the Hogs, but the home of the main Razorback, as in the University of Arkansas's life mascot, is a farm near Dardanelle in Yale County. Tusk 4 is an approximately 300-pound Russian boar who lives on Keith Stokes' farm. Keith was raised in Arkansas, and his family has a long history with the state, as his grandfather was born here in 1880. Growing up, his family ran a poultry farm, and Keith always knew he wanted to be a farmer. When he finally got the chance, he became a hog farmer, which is how he came to be the caretaker of the university's mascot. Keith recalls that in the 90s, game attendance was low, and former athletic director Frank Broyles wanted to do something to improve the game time atmosphere. In an effort to do so, Broyles reached out to former player David Basil.
And, of course, David, being a former player, said the first thing he wanted was a real, actual Razorback mascot, because when he played, what they'd do is they'd go out to the university farm and pick up a red Duroc, which is the only hog that's red. But it's not a Razorback. And bring it in, and Duroc has large floppy ears, kind of like a bloodhound, which always gives you the perception of laziness. And David always said he looked like a lazy hog laying there, but I mean, that's just the way they looked. So I was president of the Arkansas Pork Producers Association at the time, so David contacted me and says, I need to find a authentic Razorback hog, could you help me? And he said he had contacted the New York Zoo and the San Diego Zoo, and they couldn't find them. And a real good friend of mine was director of livestock and poultry called Dr. Starkey, and I called him, and he knew a guy in Greenbrier that had two perfect ones. So we actually found them here in our backyards.
Initially, the hogs were housed at the Little Rock Zoo. After 5 or 6 years, Keith says the zoo hired a new director who wanted to go a different direction, and they needed to find a home for the one hog that was still living. At this point, the university wanted to start a breeding program. The hog was moved to a Tyson experimental station in northwest Arkansas, and the breeding program began. Tusk 1 was selected in 1997 and served as the Razorback mascot for 8 years. Tusk 2 took over for his father in 2004. Tusk 4 is the current mascot, and he entered his first full season in 2011 after debuting at the 2011 All-State Sugar Bowl. He follows his uncle, Tusk 3, who is retired, and both of the animals still reside on the Stokes farm. Keith says this is the 8th year he's had the boars on site. After closing his own hog farm, the opportunity arose for the mascots to move to the Stokes farm, where Keith could care for them every day. According to the Encyclopedia of Arkansas, Razorbacks are wild boars who earned their name because of their high, hair-covered backbone and ill-mannered temper. The true wild boar, also called the European or Russian boar, is not native to the United States. Christopher Columbus introduced their domesticated ancestors to America in 1493. Domestic swine arrived in Arkansas with the first settlers. Several escaped and bred with their wild counterparts and became what we now call wild boars. The Razorback name came to the University of Arkansas after then-football coach Hugo Bezdek said his team played like a wild band of Razorback hogs during a victory over LSU in 1909. The nickname became increasingly popular, and the student body voted to change the official university mascot from the Cardinal to the Razorbacks in 1910. To get to Tusk 4's 8,000-square-foot barn, you can ride an ATV across the Stokes land. After driving across the farm and passing through a gate, you'll come upon the mascot's heated and cooled indoor home. Parked outside is the familiar red trailer you often see him in during public appearances. The 20-year-old custom-built trailer is 20 feet by 8 feet, and while it has no official name, Keith refers to it as the Tusk Taxi. Tusk's living area can be heated or cooled depending on the weather, and it also has a camera, so Keith, as well as his wife, son, or daughter, can watch the hog while they're driving down the road. It's equipped with a public address system, which can be used while the Spirit Squad rides atop the trailer during special events. At night, Keith says they can put up a tent over the top of the trailer where he and his family can sleep, so Tusk is never left alone when he's away from the farm.
He knows when he's in that trailer, nothing bad is going to happen to him. Because, you know, and that makes the whole process much easier. He knows when he gets in that trailer, I'm going to get snacks, I'm going to get treats, I'm going to get attention, I'm going to get my belly rubbed. Let me in there. He is ready to go. But, all it takes is one person to mistreat him inside that trailer, and you're going to lose that trust. You're going to lose all that you've built up. So at all times, he's never alone. There's someone of my family with him at all times when he's in that trailer. You just open the gate and say, come on, and he's in it. He is ready to go. He loves it. I mean, he loves it. He loves the attention. He knows, like I said, he knows all the good things are going to happen to him. He knows nothing bad is going to happen, so he is ready to go.
Tusk 4 and his uncle are kept in separate pens because Keith says males can be aggressive with one another. A typical day for Keith consists of releasing one of the hogs into their 10,000 square foot outdoor pen before heading to work at Bibler Brothers Lumber Company. In the afternoon, he switches the boars from outdoors to indoors, feeds and cleans, and at night he locks them up. Tusk is typically fed about 5 pounds of food, which consists of corn and swine finisher. Tusk's indoor pen is comprised of concrete walls that are about 4 feet high. He looks like an overgrown puppy, pacing back and forth, looking for attention or perhaps just food. He frequently jumps up on one of the wooden doors in front of each pen and chews on it. This results in replacing the doors annually.
Come here. Come here. Get up here. Get up here.
Keith says Tusk likes for people to pet him, and when you do run your hand along his hair, it's hard to say what's more surprising, that his thick black hair is so coarse, or that his ears are so soft. His uncle likes to have his belly rubbed and will roll over on his side while Keith obligingly jumps into his pen. Tusk 4 will be 4 years old in February, and Keith says he's about 20 in people years. Keith says you can judge a hog's lifespan based on his size. The bigger he is, the shorter his lifespan. During game week, Tusk will get washed and loaded into the trailer to make the 2-hour drive to Fayetteville for Friday night festivities. Following that, Keith and family will return home and rest. On game day, he and his family head north once again, and it is quite the ordeal.
I've always told people, if you've ever wondered what it's like traveling with a rock star, just take a little trip with us. It is an amazing trip. A lot of people, when they first find out, they say, well, why is the mascot at the Fayetteville at the university? And which is a good question. But actually, that was a concern when we first thought about bringing him down here. You know, wouldn't it be better for him to be up there? But actually, we get more exposure. He gets more exposure, and the university gets more exposure being down here with the travel up. We have what we call gas station pep rallies. We have a sound system on the trailer, so we can... Anytime we can pull in, hit a switch, we've got an instant pep rally. We've got the fight song playing. We got people pumped up. So we have people waiting for us at the gas station. Some people like to follow us up on game day. So it's a pretty unique experience.
Tusk can be found at football games played in Fayetteville and Little Rock, as well as any bowl games. He also makes appearances at other sporting events like basketball games, although those are less frequent because they're often scheduled for weeknights, and Keith and his wife both have full-time jobs. Tusk is definitely a fan favorite, and he can even give autographs. Keith was inspired by participants in the Burles Kids program, who often have their shirts signed by cheerleaders and players. Keith decided Tusk should be able to do the same, so they made a stamp of his right hoof. Fans' dedication to the Razorbacks is inspiring to Keith. For example, during a trip to Dallas, Keith says he was getting fuel when he was approached by a couple he could tell was moving based on their packed truck.
Oh, we got to get a picture. My grandpa was a graduate. He graduated class of 1948 or something. And he just, if he knew we saw this and couldn't get a picture to us, we'd go crazy. So I started talking to him. I said, what? He said, well, they were from Baylor. And they had just gotten a job in North Carolina, and they were relocating to North Carolina. And we're going the opposite way. North Carolina's east. We were going west. I said, guys, y'all going the wrong way. North Carolina's that way. He said, oh, no. He said, we met y'all on the interstate an hour ago. And we pulled over, and we've been following you for an hour, hoping that you would pull over. And I said, so you're going 2 hours, because it's an hour to here, and that's going to be an hour to make up that time. He said, you don't understand. He said, my grandpa would kill me if I didn't know, if I seen this and didn't get a picture. And I mean, I just couldn't believe it, that they went 2 hours out of their way just to do that. So it's little stuff like that that we do it.
Keith is also in awe of the university's commitment to the program, which he says is exemplified through the Tusk Fund. In the fall of 2008, the University of Arkansas Athletics Department, in conjunction with Razorback Sports Properties, established the fund to assist in the maintenance and upkeep of the university's live mascot. Though Keith spends much of his time with one of the most recognizable mascots in the country, he is nothing but humble about his duties.
A lady at church asked me one time, she said, hey, so I want to know what it feels like pulling a stadium, have 75,000 people screaming at you. And I said, well, I don't know, because the first thing you got to remember is they're not screaming for you. I could fall off the face of the earth tomorrow. Ain't nobody know it. It's all about what's in that trailer in the back. And that's why we want it. I would love for people to say, you know what? I don't know who takes care of him, but they do a good job. And that's what I don't want. You know, it's not about us. It's not about the Stokes. We don't care if nobody knows our name, because it's not about us. It's all about him back there.
It is homecoming weekend, so Tusk will be making plenty of appearances today and tomorrow. At 6 o'clock tonight, he will be participating in the homecoming parade on Dixon Street. Tomorrow morning, Tusk will be at the gardens at the University of Arkansas around 9 before heading into the stadium around 10:45. Kickoff against South Carolina is scheduled for 11:21, and if you don't have tickets, you can watch the game on SEC TV. For more information on Tusk, you can visit facebook.com/tusk.mascot. This is Ozarks at Large.
After glancing briefly at the map, which was more like a 6-page booklet than a map, I put it in my jacket pocket.
In my rearview mirror, I saw him wheel around and quickly hit the lights. I was toast. Dang it! Record shot!
I really try not to call my car by name in front of people who don't know me. It makes them think you're crazy.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We are joined by Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Welcome back.
Oh, thank goodness. I was afraid I was coming apart.
No, you're joined.
Oh, okay. I'm joined. It's all good.
Yes.
So this is one of those weekends like Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue.
Well, it's a big one because it's homecoming weekend.
Exactly. So you either want to be in the big middle of it or as far away as you can get.
If you're someone who doesn't like big crowds, autumn in Fayetteville or Northwest Arkansas is not
the place for you.
Well, between 5 football games,
craft fairs,
and Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, there's 7 weekends right there.
So we're going to tell you where to run away from Fayetteville to elsewhere.
All right.
Tonight.
Should that be your desire?
Right. Should that be your desire? I understand many of you will be involved in homecoming, and yay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you're doing.
Yes.
So this is for everybody else.
Right.
Tonight, Greg Rowley.
Yes.
He was a founding member of Santana.
Yes.
He was a founding member of Journey.
Uh-huh.
And he is going to be performing at UAFS at 2nd Street in Fort Smith.
Well, that's a heck of a deal.
At 7:30 cool. Tonight. You want to hear the heck of a deal part?
The price?
$27.
Not bad.
That's a good place to run away to.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great venue.
788-7300. Tomorrow, this one is the one, of course, that's dear. Well, they're all dear to my heart. But this one is called Pickin' Time on 59.
Okay.
It's another one of those, I want to grow up to be the world's longest yard sale. And it is actually a pretty long yard sale from Siloam Springs to Sulphur Springs.
See, I think from the beginning of the driveway to the curb is a pretty long garage sale. So, yes, this one
yes,
is.
Yes, but you are genetically challenged on this topic.
Okay. All right.
This is not for women only because but you may not have the gene. So it starts at tomorrow's the last day. Starts at 8 o'clock. Rain or shine for some people.
Right.
Rain or you're on your own for others.
Right.
While you're in Gentry, there's a quilt show at the McKee Community Room in the public library. And on Sunday from noon to 5 o'clock is their United Way Fall Festival at Gentry City Park.
I'm going to tell you, even if quilts aren't exactly a draw for you, go to the library in Gentry anyway. It's fantastic.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
Also tomorrow, it's the 50th birthday for the Wiedeker Wine Fest.
Really?
Yes. Started in 1963. Don't do the math because it makes all of us feel bad except Antoinette. It includes food, music, dancing the polka, and games like Baumstossen.
I have no idea what that is.
Means log throw.
Okay.
Starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow at Wiedeker Wine Cellars on Arkansas 186 in Franklin County. And you can go to WiedekerWines.com and find out more. Tomorrow is also the 25th annual Pea Ridge Mule Jump.
Yes, it is.
So much fun.
Yes, it is.
You could get a mule to jump.
It's really fascinating.
And there are rules. You can't pull it. You can't force it. You can guide it and then coax it.
And this all started because some friends hunted with mules.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, if you want them to jump fences, you have to teach them how to jump.
Last year, 6,000 people attended.
There
you go.
Yeah, that was the estimate. Yeah.
Well, that starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow at the stadium in Pea Ridge. And admission is the bargain price of around $5, depending on your age.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow was also Civil War Saturday at the Drennan Scott Historic Site in Van Buren.
You'll find Tom Wing there, no doubt.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Cannon firing start at 10. So if you're in a really testy mood about something, that seems to me that would be really satisfying.
And that's why we have the Mule Jump and Civil War Saturday.
Far apart.
And a mountain between them. Right.
It, by the way, is free. Second Saturday music in Eureka Springs from 3 to 5 with the Cleverleys.
Now, if you go to their website, they are very clever about their bio. Have you gone there?
No,
the Cleverleys are clever?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
And because I am assuming this is a somewhat fictional, or not somewhat, a fictional biography, because they claim that they've all come from these small towns. Now, they'll throw in some real ones, like Big Flat, which is in southern remote Baxter County, or Roasting Ear. Of course, Jimmy Driftwood grew up in Roasting Ear Creek. But then they have some others that I've never heard of. Have you heard of Cane Spur?
No.
Yeah, I think. But anyway, they are a hoot. They know their stuff. They know their licks. They can play. But they do bluegrass renditions of stuff like Katy Perry.
Cool.
Yeah, they're very cool, and they're very talented, and they're very fun.
So that's from 3 to 5 in Basin Spring Park in Eureka Springs, free.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second Saturday gallery stroll is from 6 to 9, also free.
Right.
Unless there's something you really want and you can get to your boyfriend's wallet. So, and Winona wraps up the things you should leave Fayetteville for if you wish to. She will be in the region for a show tonight at Downstream Casino west of Joplin, and tickets start at $40.
Well, you got your options there.
So that should take you out of town to all sorts of interesting places.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival returns to Mulberry Mountain near Ozark beginning Wednesday. According to the festival's website, the first notes are scheduled to be played at 7 p.m. Wednesday night, and the last band is expected to take the stage early Sunday morning at 2:15 a.m. By the time the final act has finished, more than 70 bands will have played on four different stages. Among those 70-plus acts, the seven-piece band Roscoe Bandana. While the group is made up of native Mississippians and based out of Gulfport, Mississippi, the band is not unfamiliar to Northwest and Western Arkansas. They've appeared on stage at the Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs, Oklahoma, and this summer they performed a free concert at Gully Park in Fayetteville. It was during that visit to Northwest Arkansas that Roscoe Bandana, all seven of them, came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. We featured one of the songs from that session on an edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large this summer, but saved the rest of the visit for this edition of Ozarks as an informal kickoff to the Harvest Festival. When the members of Roscoe Bandana arrived in Fayetteville, they were in the middle of an extensive tour and a very busy time. Their then brand new single, Woe Is Me, had just been put into rotation on the channel CMT. I asked them if they enjoyed the night-after-night tour, and they all agreed it's exactly what they signed up for.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We love it.
Yeah,
I mean, it gets hectic.
We're trying to promote our album right now, so as many shows as we can do, the better. So we're just trying to get out there as much as we can.
Do you always know what town you're in?
No.
Can you get?
No.
Yeah.
We try to remember at least what state we're in.
Even that gets a little blurry sometimes when you're in the Midwest.
Yeah. Even after about a week, we'll be like, well, remember that show we were playing last week and it was at that place and
we're like,
it had that venue? And we're like, yeah, but we don't remember the state or the city. We just remember the venue and
the
crowds.
What are we going to do when we go to Europe?
Whoever we meet there.
So, yeah, you remember the venue. You can remember the stage,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, we always remember the shows.
Oh, and, yeah, we remember the shows.
And the feeling and just the atmosphere of the place, but it's a hard time recalling what city it was.
Yeah. Unless it stands out a lot.
What do you even have time to explore a city?
No.
Not usually, unless we have a day or two off.
Which always ends up being in Chicago for some reason.
Yeah.
We always have days off in Chicago.
We're usually confined to the block or two around the venue because we'll sometimes go to a restaurant in the area, but a lot of times we'll stay in a Motel 6 or the equivalent outside of the city limits because it's a little cheaper. And so we check into the hotel, go do sound check, eat, play the show, go back to the hotel, and then that's as much of that city we see sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, you bring up the hotel. I have to ask because you're a septet. There's seven of you. Is it democracy rules where you stay, where you eat, how much you spend? I mean,
no,
when it's a duo
it's
or a
trio. Definitely in the pocketbook that rules it all.
Yeah.
If we don't have
the dollar is king.
Yeah. They definitely rule everything, but most time it's Motel 6, you know?
I think one of the great things about the fact that there are seven of you, that means seven influences, and it's probably exponential beyond that, because you all seem to have all these different kinds of styles of music you've listened to and liked, and that comes into this sort of gumbo that you produce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? Is it when you're putting together the songs for, like, Time to Begin, was it, how did they come together?
Well, I do most of the writing, but like you said, it's like a gumbo. Everybody has their own influence, and they put their own little twist on it.
Yeah, Time to Begin, we were sitting on his couch, and I was strumming on a banjo, and I don't even play banjo. And just that lick came up, and then Jason started writing some lyrics, Jen wrote some lyrics, and, you know.
Boom.
And then a lot other times, you know, Jason will bring a song to song to us, and, you know, we'll all just kind of work around it and figure out three or four different parts you could play, mm-hmm. and then just pick the best one. So, yeah, it is kind of a stir fry thing, a little bit of everything.
A little southern gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Southern gumbo.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything different about an outdoor show than an indoor show?
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just definitely.
Sound is always different.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging.
Always different. Yeah, it's a little bit more challenging to connect with an audience. You know,
you're further away, especially if you're on a larger stage.
I like playing outside.
I like it. Outside.
I do too.
Just
mm-hmm.
It's like gives you a. A raw, back-in-the-day kind of a feeling, you know, where you just sat outside and people congregated. And, yeah. You know, a lot of times it's hard because people will be in an area where it's like an outside seated thing. But we played a show last week in wherever we were.
Greensburg.
At the
Greensburg.
Yeah, the place with this water rapids.
The white water rafted.
And people came up to the front
and
just kind of like laid down blankets and chairs, and so it was intimate like that, which is what we like.
Even if we have sit-down shows, we always end up having a few people come up, and that can't be seated. They have to.
That's about as high a compliment as you can get as a band, too.
Absolutely.
If they can't
stay
seated.
Mm-hmm. And then we feed off those kind of people. That's how we get our energy.
Get our sustenance.
And we're very encouraging of people to do that, too, to get out of their seats, because we're dancing around, and there's always energy on stage, which I think encourages the crowd to do the same.
Well, what would you like to play today?
We're going to play a few songs. One of them in particular is on CMT right now.
Woe Is Me?
Woe Is Me.
Excellent.
Yes, sir. And we're going to do a little Black Old Water for you. One, two, three, four.
Mississippi. Woo!
Yes.
Baby, it's drama, me and you. Baby, it's God who I'm looking to. I'm looking to. I'm looking to. I'm looking to. I'm looking to.
The seven members of Roscoe Bandana performing inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio. The members of the band are Barry Preibel, Jason Sanford, Emily Scholes, Jackson Weldon, Jennifer Flint, Josh Smith, and Patrick Mooney. The band will play a week from today from 4:30 until 6 on the Backwoods stage at the Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival. You can learn much more about the festival at their website, yonderharvestfestival.com. This is Ozarks at Large.
Trying to figure out who you are isn't always easy.
We fight for identity, sometimes we kill for identity, but why is that?
As long as you experience your condition as an identity, it's the source of your freedom.
I would say that my home is where I find my identity, which is an ongoing phenomenon.
The journey to understanding identity on the next TED Radio Hour from NPR.
That's this Sunday at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Main Street Rogers is hosting Downtown Rogers Oktoberfest from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, October 19th in Frisco Park, located at 1st and Elm Streets. This celebration includes live music, food, craft beers, and the Bud Bar featuring college football. MainStreetRogers.com or 936-5487 for more information.
Support for KUAF is provided by the 8th Annual Cherokee Art Market, featuring 130 Native American artists, along with interactive cultural demonstrations, October 12th and 13th, that's this weekend, inside the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tulsa. More information available at CherokeeArtMarket.com.
Listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Dardanelle.
Dardanelle in Yale County.
Mm-hmm.
You went to see Theater Squared's production of 4,000 Miles last night.
I did. The woman that plays the grandmother is fabulous. She's just fabulous.
That's what everybody has said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to catch it this weekend. There are just a few performances left.
Yes, this is your last chance this weekend. So if you're going to do it.
Do it this weekend.
Yeah.
There you go. Forewarned.
Homecoming.
A lot of people in town this weekend.
For the university, yes.
Right.
Yes. Are you going to the game or anything?
I am not going to the game.
Mm-hmm. Plan to watch it, though.
Or listen to it.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. And last week I predicted a Razorback victory on the air. I'm not going to do that this week, and so maybe that will be.
Maybe that'll change
exactly.
Our luck? Okay.
Exactly. I won't predict a loss, because that's just poor form.
That is poor form.
But we'll see.
I appreciate that. Fingers crossed.
I know exactly where I was 39 years ago tonight.
Oh, where was that?
It was in my home in Lakeview, Arkansas, watching the first ever episode of Saturday Night Live. I was in seventh grade.
Oh.
George Carlin was the host. My mom, the next morning, said, well, how was it? And I said, I don't think it will last.
So you're really good with predictions. That's what we've learned.
That's what we have learned. Absolutely. No. I also said that after I saw the first episode of Friends. Said this. I'll give it 6 weeks.
Sounds about right.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas and I together Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. You're back by yourself on Monday
mm-hmm.
at noon for a new one.
Have a good weekend.